This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Joy's international news and current affairs show just for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to Richard there for the news. He's just going to read it 24 hours from now on, I think. And the Informer team for another great show. Now, Worldwide Wave panel tonight with me in the studio. Hello, Paul.
Good evening.
Damien's here too.
Hello.
And my name is Matt. We often think we often think of LGBTI people in leadership positions as being something of a modern phenomenon. But gays have been occupying powerful positions around the world for centuries, some openly, others in secret. Tonight, we look at what makes a power gay.
Who are the most successful gay leaders from history?
How has sexuality been used as a weapon, even to help bring down a pope?
And will Australia ever see an openly LGBTI head of state? Guiding us through the ups and downs of gay power across the centuries is Dr. Matthew Lang, lecturer and research fellow in politics at Monash University. He is presenting the talk Pride Power, Queer Leadership from the Ancient World to Today as part of the Melbourne Midsummer Festival.
This is David Wadali from the Ubuntu Foundation, Malawi, Southern Africa, on the World Wide Web on Joy 94.9.
Change much through the years. Every bad
Okay, this is Worldwide Wave, and that was Power by Cher. Now, if you were lucky enough to get tickets, you'll be seeing her at the Mardi Gras. 60th Mardi Gras.
Special guest, and Joy will be there too for you. Send us a message, 0427JOY949, or on air at joy.org.au.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're talking power gaze tonight, through history, through to today. Now, interestingly, in looking for lists of power gaze in Australia, there hasn't been one since 2011.
So we'd like our listeners to send them suggestions.
That's right. Send us. Who would you put on the Australian power gaze list?
We do have some suggestions. Penny Wong?
Yep, she'd definitely be up there for sure. I think Magda would... I think she'd be right up there.
You mean Madam President? former Justice Michael Kirby?
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Alan Joyce?
Yes, well, that's in the... I guess does this is one of the
Aussie?
Things... Well, we'll take him. Yes. I think this is one of those things of how you define power, because it's not just politics and political influence. There's commercial influence there. There's artistic influence.
Sayer?
Yes, or Sia, as Sia. Others will say. Sia. So who do you think should be on Australia's power gay list? 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We did find one out of America. Of course we did. Number one on the list was Rachel Maddow, who's a political commentator. Number two, Anderson Cooper.
He's the one with the grey hair that got emotional doing the report
on Pulse, and he's been a real outspoken advocate as well. Ellen, number three.
Down the list, we've got RuPaul.
Oh,
RuPaul Charles.
Really?
I didn't know.
I guess she'd have influence in you know, she has a big audience.
TV mogul, apparently.
Tim Cook is there, CEO of Apple as well. And Frank Ocean, singer-songwriter. Some interesting names who are current power gays. We're going to look at power gays from ancient history right through to today, tonight, with our guest. And we'll, I guess we'll build on that list of Australian power gays as the show progresses.
And any messages we'll add to our list of suggestions for Australian power gays.
And we have indeed have one come in on just now on 0427JOY949. Thanks, Dean. Dean is suggesting Gary Singer, who is not only a patron of Joy, but is former Deputy Lord Mayor here in Melbourne. Yes, I'd tick. Thank you, Dean. Love it. Send your thoughts, 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, gay people have been around from day dot, so it's not surprising that some have made it into very powerful positions, some openly and others not. Dr. Matthew Lang from Monash University is presenting a talk during this year's Midsummer Festival, which kicked off on Sunday, and I've got the sunburn to prove it. The talk is titled Pride, Power, Queer Leadership from Ancient World to Today. While being gay and a leader attracts particular attention in today's world, we asked Matthew if this was the case in days gone by.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot over history, obviously, and I think what's remarkable when you go back through the history is how acceptable it was in some very ancient periods and how in relatively recent periods it's been almost undiscussed. If you think about leaders in the era of the ancient Greeks and the era of Alexander the Great famously is thought to have had a sexual relationship, if not an extremely close male friendship, with his leading general, Hephaestion. And this was a kind of a strategic thing. It was, you know, well known about this relationship. It was used to build loyalty amongst the generals and amongst, you know, close colleagues. In Greek settings, it was used as a form of education of leaders. So it's sort of gone from being, you know, highly accepted in some periods to during the Roman period, just shortly after that, it became shunned and suppressed. in sort of the Middle Kingdom of China. It was openly used as a sort of a political and power tactic by various emperors, and then in later periods of Chinese history, all that history was suppressed again. So it's really interesting how it's had this sort of up and down over time, and sort of, you know, kind of, it's not this big monolithic view of history where people look back and go, oh, it was always forbidden or it was always not talked about, because it's not true. There were lots of interesting periods of history where it comes to the surface a lot more.
So in Alexander the Great's time, I mean, he was such a dominant figure. Why wasn't there a residual carryover of, I guess, that sort of acceptance?
Well, it's interesting, I guess, the role that things like religion plays or social mores kind of change over time in response to, you know, kind of various social events. I think, you know, what's interesting about the Greek period is that having a relationship between, you know, two men was seen as an appropriate part of a life stage. You know, got in training to be a leader by sort of, you know, being the sort of process known as pedestry. You were kind of assigned to an older man who would teach you the ways of the world and the responsibility of manhood. And it's kind of an elite training, you know, for the world thing. But when you grew older, it wasn't normal to continue in homosexual relationships with people your own age. You had to marry, have a wife and have heirs. There's also kind of a different sort of social role that's played in different times. So even within someone's own lifetime, it might have been acceptable, you know, as a younger man and then not acceptable as older. Alexander might have been exceptional in society for keeping a relationship going with a peer his own age for such a long time. But, you know, the historical record's a bit hazy on that.
It's Dr. Matthew Lang from Monash University. He's presenting the Power Pride talk at this year's Midsummer. That's fascinating. I didn't quite realise that level of acceptance of you know, the older man taking on a mentoring role, but that might then, part of that might include a sexual connection from you know, very early days.
Teaching the youngster the ways of the world.
The ways of the world. But then you had to stop that. Once you've been taught those ways of the world, then you had to get married.
Well, it's all about procreation, making sure that the right people carried on the genes normally.
Interesting. Fascinating. We've got lots more coming up. In fact, coming up, we find out how sexuality has been used to strengthen power and also how it's been used as a weapon against it. You're on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Hi, it's Todd Sears, founder of Out Leadership, and excited to be discussing driving LGBTI inclusion on the World Wide Wave.
You don't know me, I don't know you. That's what we tell ourselves inside of a little head. We could never love again. You don't know me, I don't know you. That's what it's gonna be if you let yourself get in the way of what the child inside you says. And if you had another bad romance, give it another go. It could be beautiful. Wouldn't you like?
According to Conchita Wurst, you are unstoppable. I don't think anyone's going to argue with her that we are unstoppable.
And she is unstoppable too. Love that song. Love it, love it. Messages in on 0427 Joy 949. Dean's sending through a few more names for the Power Gaze list. Yes, Johanna, and I can't pronounce her surname, but the Icelandic Prime Minister, she was actually the first openly LGBT head of state anywhere in the world. I think that's quite typical of Iceland, actually. Very progressive country.
Luxembourg currently has a LGBTI prime minister.
And Belgium?
Who's married.
Yes, they got married in office.
Was it Belgium? Sorry, not Luxembourg.
No, Luxembourg as well. We're everywhere. And we're throwing around a few more names for the Australian list. Jason Ball, AFL footballer. I think one of the reasons why I think he fits in there is because he's quite young, so getting some young leaders onto that list.
And also doing a lot to break stereotypes in that sport, which needs someone to, break the ice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Talking of young, Josh Thomas?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Breaking new ground on television. Yeah. So send us your thoughts on the Australian list of Power Gaze, 0427 Joy 949, or on air at joy.org.au.
Tonight we are exploring pride power through the ages. Now, Frederick the Great, the Prussian king, and a very successful military strategist of the 1700s is very fondly thought of in Germany now. We asked Dr. Matthew Lang from the Monash University if this almost became undone because of his sexuality.
Yes and no. When he was a young man, Frederick was, kind of renowned as a teenager growing up in the Prussian court for having inappropriate, inverted commas, relationships with other men in the court, which his father attempted to punish him for. But, in all kind of things, a leader who is a good leader, like Frederick was, that can kind of, speak a lot louder than any kind of rumors in the background. I mean, Frederick was well known to be predominantly homosexual. He certainly stated many times in his diaries that he didn't like women. Famously, kind of was forced to marry a poor princess in his youth, but as soon as his father died, she was sort of exiled, and he only visited once a year on his birthday. There was kind of this change in his circumstances once he became king, and he actually used it very effectively to build loyalty amongst his men and a sense of camaraderie. He was a man's man. He never kind of played up, anything other than an ultra-masculine figure. He was extremely brave. He rode into battle first, usually, and won many of them during his career. As Napoleon once said, visiting his tomb sometime after he died, "If Frederick was still alive, then I would not be here," indicating that he kind of felt that Frederick was the one general greater than him. And he's sort of been revered all through German history. The Nazis, everyone from the Nazis to sort of modern German nationalists, have pointed to Frederick as being, this great German forebear. Yet homosexuality was absolutely central to his life and his reign. It was certainly an open secret during his career. So it's interesting how he used it strategically to his advantage as much as it was might have been to his disadvantage when he was younger.
And homosexuality or allegations thereof didn't escape Rome either. Pope Julius II had, I guess, a scandal over alleged gay lovers. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, well, that's sort of the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. There's been some leaders who have absolutely been undone by their homosexual affairs. Pope Julius is famous. He was elected pope in 1550. And his legacy was brought down by his uncontrollable lust for a young man named Vincenzo, who was a teenager who had been working as a houseboy in his family estate. And for some reason, Julius could never resist Vincenzo's charms. He openly shared the papal bedroom with Vincenzo. He made Vincenzo a cardinal at the age of 17.
Wow.
He gave Vincenzo a whole lot of estates and, control over various abbeys. Vincenzo was sort of one of the greatest and most bizarre villains in Catholic Church history. He actually murdered two people, yet was not punished for the crime because he was under papal protection as a cardinal. And for some reason, Julius could never say no. Once Julius died, only 5 years after becoming Pope, Vincenzo's career was slightly more imperiled, yet he was a cardinal. There was very little they could actually do to get rid of him. So they sort of put up with him for another decade, despite trying to get rid of him in several ways.
I guess that sort of raises the issue that somebody's sexuality has often been used as a weapon against them in these power plays. Do you think it's still an effective weapon today?
Look, I think it's always been an effective weapon against a weak ruler. Let's just put it that way. I think, you know, if a leader is popular, if a leader is successful, and there have been many of these, you know, who have been homosexual in the past, really, you know, kind of rumors about sexuality have all been seen fairly insignificant. But, you know, if a leader is weak, if a leader isn't well supported by the nobility, if the leader is unpopular, then it's sometimes a perfect pretext to bring down a career. So it's interesting how it can be played in a couple of ways, but it's sort of not automatically a death sentence. And certainly sometimes, you know, it's not going to make a really big difference. If a leader is like Frederick the Great and winning battles all over Europe, it's going to be very hard to say, well, you know, he's, you know, who he sleeps with, you know, should bring down the monarchy. But, you know, if it's a Pope or something who's clearly scandalizing the court, then the opposite is true. So it's a weapon only, I think, if the leader is already weak.
More recently here in Australia, we've had our same-sex marriage debate. What has been your takeout? What do you think we've learned about sexuality and power in the Australian context?
I think we're, you know, in a really interesting period now, of course, because, you know, for the first time in a long time, we have a lot of leaders coming into the public spotlight who are gay. And not only that, but are willing to, you know, lead on gay issues. And I think this is a dilemma that we come into. In this era, there are gay members of parliament on both Labor and Liberal side. But of course, when they're elected to parliament, they're elected to represent everyone, not just, you know, the minority they might come from. And so the same-sex urge debate kind of brings up some of those modern dilemmas. I mean, if you're elected to parliament, will you stop at nothing to advance, you know, the cause of, you know, same-sex marriage? Or do you play the party line? You know, do you owe your allegiance to the party first? Or to your community? I think it's been very heartening to see how many MPs on both sides of politics during the debate have chosen to lead, you know, for the gay community. But it's a difficult choice that they're forced to make. And I think, especially as more gay leaders come into politics, there'll always be that question of, well, you know, are they doing enough for the community they came from? Or can they do enough for the community? They're being trapped between those two worlds.
Interesting thoughts there from Dr. Matthew Lang from Monash University. He's presenting the talk Pride Power in this year's Midsummer Festival. Look, going back to those, the Pope, highly scandalous. It creates your lover as a cardinal at 17.
And then they can't get rid of him. And you can commit murder and get away with it.
Wow.
That's
talk about
news.
Friends in high places.
You know, it's like the church story. They've always been able to get away with these things.
Yeah, but you can understand why the people around him would be really upset about this if, you know, some 17-year-old with no, you know, commitment to the church just suddenly gets bestowed this, you know, incredible title and all the privilege. This is in an age of very much of, more so than today, of privilege.
And he came from being just a houseboy, so he probably was quite lowly, from low status to start with,
and then
very low status.
Living the dream. Yes, indeed. Interesting Matthew's thoughts there on, effectively, that if you're a good leader, then sexuality becomes almost a second-tier issue. It's much...
Because they only... If they don't like you, that's when they start looking for stuff to hang on you. But if they like you, then, you know...
They don't really
care. It's like charismatic people can kind of get away with a lot because people like them. So they don't go dishing dirt on them. But if there's someone that's not popular, then it's like, well, what can we, you know, what we can sling on them?
But I guess that sort of says... that's sort of implying that sexuality is a bad thing. It's much more that... It's going to be used as a tool against
well,
people.
In essence, yes, because no one's going to go, hey, you heterosexual.
Do you think that's changed, though? Like, it would be a lot more difficult in certainly today's Australia, to use that. I don't think as many people would
say,
be.
Yeah, it's probably depending on where you are. I think if you were in Iraq, Iran, parts of Africa, you probably wouldn't want anyone saying you're homosexual.
No, you wouldn't be getting into a position of power, you'd be out of it very quickly, I would think.
Yeah. But if you're in America or here, I don't think that would be an issue. Well, there obviously isn't an issue.
Using that as a slur would probably be viewed, it would reflect worse on the person
who's making the slur,
rather than the person that they're trying to attack.
I did also like with Frederick the Great, like, he's this great military warrior, you know, it is absolutely bursting the stereotypes of, you know, what is often portrayed as, you know, the effeminate side of things, and he's out there leading, charging into battle. Dean has messaged in another suggestion, Hadrian, the Roman emperor, and also a warrior. So, yes, some interesting traits there about leadership and the mix with sexuality. We've got some more coming up on this topic from our guest, Dr. Matthew Lang. This is World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
You can join, renew or extend your Joy membership from now till February 18, 2018 to be eligible to go into a draw to win a trip for you and three friends to the ultimate Mardi Gras experience. Now, this is valued at $3,500, people.
This is huge. So it includes, so you and three friends, you're off, you've got your flights to Sydney, accommodation for two nights, you've got tickets to the special Mardi Gras viewing area, so you're not camped out in the gutter like most people.
You've got 2 days of car hire, so you're not actually stuck in Sydney even if you don't want to be there.
And that's from our friends at GoGet, who are sponsoring Midsummer Carnival as well. And
4 tickets to the sold-out Mardi Gras party.
Yeah, you can't get these tickets anywhere. This is the Share Mardi Gras event, and it just sold out. So really good way to get to Mardi Gras is in style with Joy 94.9. All you got to do, go online, join, renew or extend your membership before the 18th of Feb.
Now, T's and C's can be found on the Joy website. Joy, turn us on all summer long.
Dear Ditch, hello, this is Rosie Sagan speaking to you all the way from Belfast in Northern Ireland on World Wide Wave.
More power there from Vanessa Amorosi.
Aussie power. Thank you, Vanessa. More messages in. Dean is on fire tonight. Thoroughly enjoying the show, gents. Alexander the Great is surely the biggest ever power gay. He was almost certainly bisexual. It would have been unusual if he wasn't in that era. Dean, you haven't sent through any Australian power gays. I'm going to throw Matthew Mitchum in there to the list because...
Please do.
Please.
I think
anybody that can be so... open and you know, you just want to hug him, really.
Ian Thorpe,
just want to follow him. Ian Thorpe, yes, a late leader. I'd say maybe. Send us your messages 0427 join 949. Those Aussie power gays.
Now, in recent years, the world has seen a number of out national leaders coming to the fore. So we've got Iceland, Luxembourg, Belgium, and more recently, Serbia. So we asked Matthew if he thought Australia would have an openly gay Prime Minister or Governor General in some time soon.
Oh, sure. All these things are just a matter of time. I think it's remarkable how quickly it's advanced, even in Australian terms. There were gay members of parliament, before recent decades. But really, people like Bob Brown were the first generation of leaders in Australian politics who were openly gay. And that's only going back to the 1980s, 1990s, only a matter of decades. So it's just a matter of time. As more, leaders, gay people go into politics as gay politicians, then, it's just a numbers game eventually, of course. One of them will become prime minister. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I think, attitudes have changed very significantly, and there's no doubt, that the majority of the population would be comfortable with it now. So, absolutely, I'm sure it's in the future.
Is there one overall learning that you'll be presenting, I guess, as a part of your Pride Power presentation in Midsummer?
Yeah, I think, the overall thing that I think history teaches us is that homosexuality or, gender issues have kind of been held up, I think, as an albatross around the leader's neck, as if it's something, historically that's been shamed or secretive or something that wasn't, it's only very recently it's been liberated. But I think if you go back, you see that, there's a lot of really great leaders, who were homosexual in our past, and a lot of very interesting ways in which they sometimes used it to their advantage. So I think what I'm really trying to do is present a more nuanced view of how homosexuality and, queer issues feed into leadership in our, in the, sort of the history, both recent and distant, and kind of unpicking, I think, some of the stereotypes around it that people hold.
The presentation is Pride Power. It's part of the Talks program in Midsummer Festival this year on the 21st of January at the Library at the Dock. You can get more information at midsummer.org.au. Dr. Matthew Lang from Monash University, thank you very much for joining us on World Wide Wave.
Thanks, Matt.
Now, we've only scraped the surface of this topic. Matthew is presenting, quite a long and detailed presentation
Midsummer. It's certainly piqued my interest because... you tend to forget about things that have gone before us, and like none of this is new. And to have someone quite eloquently kind of lay it out for you, a bit of a smorgasbord of, the power of pride in history is intriguing.
And you'll be able to ask questions of him there on the spot and grill him. Bob Brown. How can we forget Bob Brown? One of the great... And in fact, I'll throw into that one also Don Dunstan, who is the South Australian Premier, who was really, he's the one who made safari suits and with shorts famous in South Australian Parliament. But he was really, really progressive in terms of driving forward decriminalisation laws and lots of progressive policies in South Australia. So, yeah, I think there's some really wonderful, inspiring people, and look, hopefully more to come for Australia. Now, that presentation, it's called Pride, Power, Queer Leadership from the Ancient World to Today. Best thing to do is go to the Midsummer website, which is midsummer.org.au. Have you planned your Midsummer, guys? You got lots of events on? Had a great time at Carnival. Great event on Sunday. Big turnout. Joy was all over the place doing crosses, presenting what was on. So that kicks it off for the next 3 weeks of fun. If you haven't checked out the program, you're crazy. There really is something for everybody. This particular talk, so... Dr. Matthew Lang from Monash University will be looking at power through the ages, from those ancient times right through to today, looking at some of the big hitters from today in America, what makes them succeed, and that those balancing acts that he was just starting to talk about, which is interesting. I probably hadn't thought about that too much, but how much you are representing the minority you're from as well as balancing for the majority.
It's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? You're meant to be acting on the majority of the people, but then someone has to represent the minorities, otherwise they will forever be a minority.
That's right, and then you won't have change at all.
This is William calling from WeWe Blogs, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Let's do this!
Big thank you to Dr. Matthew Lang, lecturer and research fellow in politics at Monash University. His talk is called Pride Power. Find it at the Midsummer website, midsummer.org.au.
And we'd like to thank everyone that's contacted us and interacted with us on Facebook this week. And that's Dylan, Roy, Natalie, Flo, and there's a heap more. Now, if you want to find us on Facebook, it's very easy. It's just W3Joy. That anyone, you can't forget that, W3Joy. And also all the SMSs, especially from Dean. Now, Dean, you can go to bed now. Yeah, really. you go to sleep, for God's sake.
Also, Alex is our podcaster. Thanks for your hard work. And Gordon on the front desk. A shout out to everybody out there who might either come from a non-English speaking background know somebody that does, who is within our queer community. We're putting together a special Mardi Gras show, a part of Joy's programming for the Mardi Gras weekend. We'll be taking over the airwaves of SBS Radio as well, going out nationally, and we're putting together a special multicultural show to show that same-sex love is everywhere. So if you do speak another language, we would love for you to be a part of that and share your story in your own language. You can contact us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au. That's worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Now, coming up next week, we're off to Italy.
Italia!
We are going to see Italy through the eyes of a gay man and his nonna. That's his grandmother, before you jump to any conclusions.
That's another one of our midsummer specials taking us out. We need some music.
We have some more power this time. It's from Lorraine, who's from Sweden, Eurovision entry. We've got the power.
We got the power. We got the power. Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.